The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Why is she not streets ahead? Is it because she's a woman? Is that what this amounts to now? Is there some misogyny here? That's what some people have been saying to me on Twitter this afternoon. Is it because she's up against the sort of Teflon-coated post-truth shrug of a joke of a man who doesn't follow the normal rules of engagement? So tell me, what is wrong with Clinton? Why would you not vote for her? 0345 60 60 973. You know, I want the leader of the free world to be more intelligent than most people. I want the leader of the free world at least to be more intelligent than yogurt, for example. So in a choice between Trump and Clinton, you'd go Clinton, wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? And explain to me what the objections are. Well, helping me try and explore this. It's a bit of a baffler for me, even having been out there for a week or so. Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent, and Daniel Dale, the Washington correspondent for the Toronto Star, who brilliantly runs a daily Trump check column debunking the lies told by Donald Trump. You can imagine what a large job that is. Simon, if I can start with you. How you doing?
I'm very well, Stig. If you couldn't understand it after a week, you should try living here.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it? It's very striking how little positivity there is about Hillary. There's lots of she's probably better than Trump.
But it is astonishing.
There seems to be no warmth to her. Why is that?
No, I think that's absolutely right. And there is this enormous enthusiasm gap between the electorate in this election and the candidates in general, both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. But there's absolutely no question that the Democrats are confounded by the notion that Hillary Clinton, depending on which poll you look at, is between only 2 and 4 points clear of a man that Democrats firmly believe is uniquely disqualified to be president of the United States, and a man who, as you have noted, has deployed violent rhetoric, insightful language on the campaign trail over the course of the last year, and clearly sought to divide, not unite Americans around him. But, you know, Hillary Clinton, I think, has got a couple of massive problems. First of all, she is a known quantity in an election that many people believe is a change election. People have had 8 years of Barack Obama, 8 years of a Democrat in the White House. She was with him for much of those 8 years as his Secretary of State. They're in the mood for a change, and for Hillary Clinton to put herself across as a change candidate is a very, very complicated road for her to wander down. But she also has got a massive credibility and trustworthiness problem. I mean, you said in the introduction there, Stig, that, you know, she seems honest compared to Donald Trump in that she doesn't blatantly lie time after time. But, you know, her critics, and they include many prominent Democrats, people like David Axelrod, the man who was the grand strategist behind Barack Obama's election victory in 2008, say that actually she does play fast and loose with her own credibility and her own trustworthiness. What, for example, was all that nonsense about not being straight with the public about her pneumonia diagnosis just a few weeks ago? All the polling suggests she's got a massive problem in terms of her reputation for trustworthiness and credibility. And people look at Donald Trump, and some of them come to the conclusion that, you know, yeah, he may be a little bit rough around the edges, he may be bigoted, he may be proposing to close America's borders to Muslims, but at least he's straight with them about what he plans to do. And that is why I think the longer this election campaign goes on, the worse it is for Hillary Clinton. All the polling suggests she just doesn't wear well with American voters. It probably would have suited her better if this election had taken place a couple of weeks ago rather than in 5 weeks' time.
Simon, hang on there, because I want to talk to Daniel Dale, the Washington correspondent for the Toronto Star. How are you doing, Daniel?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
What seems to be striking about this election is, as Simon says, Donald Trump is known as a straight shooter.
Mm.
And yet he is provably, demonstrably, a liar. And those two things feel very difficult for me as a balancing act. Because one of the things you do is you assess the things he says, and they, presumably, relatively in straightforward terms, can be proved not to be true.
That's right. It's confounding. I think, you know, for a lot of people, it's easy to mistake a sort of boorish straightforwardness with honesty. You feel like someone who is talking all the time and shouting all the time and is willing to offend people must be, you know, he must be truthful in some way, so that the style can make him seem honest when in substance he, in fact, is very much not.
So explain what you've been doing. You've been doing Trump Check. What has that shown you about the sort of things he says?
Well, I think it shows that he lies about things big and small for strategic reason and for no reason. The pushback I get is that some of these are quite trivial lies, if you'd call them that, even trivial errors. But I list those too because I think they tell us something about the man, and that is that either he doesn't have a grasp of the facts, or he's uniquely uncaring about what those facts are. So it's big lies, from things like I oppose the Iraq war, to very, very little lies, like saying you know, I haven't started advertising in Virginia and yet I'm still close, when in fact he started advertising 3 weeks ago. So he's habitually bragging, he's habitually exaggerating, and he habitually, you know, shows little regard for what the truth is.
Is that in the end the point that, you know, we kind of grow up with believing, at least in this country, and I presume in America as well, that politicians never really tell the truth, but we expect them to try. And I suppose we expect them to care if they're brought up against something that's not true. And one of the things that seems to be the sort of rules out the window with Trump is you could say to him, if he came on this show now and we said, Donald, that was untrue, he'd just sort of look at you like you're foolish. Like, why does that matter?
Yeah, that's it. You know, I think what this has shown us again is that someone who is willing to disregard shame and simply stick to their guns can come across as more honest than someone who abides by the usual standards of political or human behavior. And when called on these things, you know, a normal person, even a normal politician, would try to amend in some way, but he never does, and he's written about that in his book. You know, never apologize, never back down, and it works for him.
Simon, just last word to you. I mean, will that work over a 90-minute debate? Because we were talking about what's the debate's going to be like, and Hillary will win because she has a command of detail and she'll be able to highlight some of the things he said and some of the inconsistencies. But if he stands there and shrugs and says that doesn't matter, and he talks in that way he does, where he repeats simple phrases over and over again hypnotically, that shouldn't bother him, should it?
Well, look, I mean, I think that is going to be the crucial question as we head into the debate, which is going to take place 2 o'clock in the morning London time on Tuesday morning at Hofstra University in New York. It is in many ways the ultimate test of Donald Trump's approach to politics. I think one could argue that the sort of evil genius of Donald Trump is that he realized before anyone else, certainly long before the great and the good in Washington, D.C., that the American public was ready for their electoral process to be turned into the political equivalent of a reality television program. This is a man who triumphs in what The Economist has described as a post-truth era, in which facts do not appear to matter with large numbers of voters. Now, whether that translates into a 90-minute debate head-to-head with Hillary Clinton, who, as you say, Stig, is completely steeped in the briefing papers and steeped in the policy minutiae, well, we'll find that out in a few hours' time. You know, the people around Trump say if there's one thing he understands, it's television and it's how to put on a great show. They said that before the Republican convention in Cleveland a few weeks ago, and the Republican convention was, from a programming perspective, from a showmanship perspective, a bit of a disaster compared to what the Democrats put on. But let's see what he does when he gets into that arena and continues, as he's clearly going to do, shooting from the hip up against a woman who will have facts at her fingertips to offer counterpoints to him as that conversation gets underway.
Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent. Daniel Dale, Washington correspondent for the Toronto Star, who has the unenviable task of running a Trump Check, debunking the endless lies told by Donald Trump.